Hi there. Welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy, bringing you tips and strategies on communication that will boost your business. And I don't do that alone. I do that with a highly accomplished guest who will share his or her tips and strategies that will give us winning words and ways. Today is my great privilege to host Mike Stewart. Mike Stewart and I met in 1998 at the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association. I can still remember Mike coming up to me and saying, "Have you got a website?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got one." And I was thinking I don't need his services. And he said, "Okay, but do you have sound on your website? You're a speaker. You ought to have sound on your website." So that's when I started relying on Mike Stewart, and I have relied on him ever since. Many of us will remember that in 1996, we started having access to the internet, and we needed people to help us figure it out. And Mike Stewart is one of those pioneers who paved the way and brought us along with him. Amazingly, Mike excels in music, too. He's a songwriter, publisher, film composer, played on hit records as a session musician, owned a successful recording studio, and played keyboards, guitars, and bass. Additionally, he has written music for all his adult life. I guess Mike got those notes that I didn't. So please welcome me please join me in welcoming the internet audio and video guy who will share his strategies with us today. Hi there, Mike.
Hey, Bill. To be a guest on your show, I watch all these shows because we'll reveal why I see all your shows. But to be a guest is an honor. And I hope you got some questions here that will try me a little bit, maybe make me think a little harder this day.
Well, I might try you, but I know I don't stump the expert. Not at all. Mike, let's go back to the pre-internet days, because I may be one of the few people who is well aware of the fact that you didn't learn technology by taking a crash course or a correspondence course or going to a weekend session. You had been involved in technology and the media for quite a while. Describe to us what that background was that prepared you for what you've been doing ever since.
Well, obviously, and you can see here behind me is it's that side over there. Oh, well, there's a gold record, and a keyboard behind me. And in fact, I'll actually do a little camera switch. I have a recording studio, a Nashville recording studio, because I got into audio, and especially internet audio, years ago, because I wanted to be involved with the music industry. I wanted to be involved with the recording industry. And I started in recording when it was an analog medium, which means it used tape. I don't know if people remember reel-to-reel tape recorders, cassette tapes, 8 tracks. Sound was recorded on discs. Sound was recorded on tape, and digital didn't exist until the 90s. And so I've seen it transform from its primitive days into the amazing power of what we have available today. And I thought, well, how can I apply my knowledge and love of music and recording to a business that at least pays the bills? And, I love it. What's my real job? My real job is helping people understand how to use these tools for their businesses. And that's, if you go back to, you made a comment of like, in 98, which is 36 years ago. Oh my goodness. Am I doing the math right? I don't know. I went to the Georgia Speakers Associations because I was learning websites back then, in addition to understanding recorded audio and how the internet would deliver audio. And it was possible in 98 for audio to do what's called stream from a website. Streaming audio technology was invented in 96. So by 98, the ability to have sound come off of a website was possible and doable and affordable. And I thought, what segment or what vertical of market could you really utilize audio on their website? And I knew that public speakers, professional speakers, it's like, okay, I was looking at the Georgia Speakers Association at the time, I think is what it was called. And I noticed all of the members had websites, such as yourself, but nobody could hear them. And I thought that that was kind of an oxymoron. I'm a speaker, but you can't hear me. So that became my, I don't want to say my elevator speech or pitch, but you know, your web guy doesn't know sound. I do. In fact, the name of my company at the time, and I still own that domain name, Sound Pages. I make web pages with audio, with sound. And I've been Sound Pages for over 35 years. And so I knew that by combining the marketing strategy of going to a niche that could use the service or the solution and explaining to them, don't you see this is a problem? You're a speaker, you're sending prospect clients to your websites, agents, what so forth, and they can't even hear you speak. Wouldn't you like your website to be able to be to see a picture and be heard? So that's where I started making, and I've done that strategy hundreds of times over the years of taking something that I know and framing it to a market to where when they don't understand they need it, they go, aha, I can use that. And look, our relationship has lasted all these years. And I've got quite a few relationships from those years ago that they all began. If I had gone up to you and said, hey, do you want me to fix and clean up your website? You'd have said, no, thank you. And we were probably never spoken again.
Yeah, there were hundreds of people who could do that.
Well, and it was hot at the time. I mean, people who could make a website could find work. That was not the issue. But the issue from a marketing standpoint, I thought was every web designer is not an audio engineer. Every web designer is not a composer. So I brought music. In fact, the music that you've been using for years is
yes.
I composed and recorded years ago. And so I just took my passion of music and recording and applied it to what I consider to be the new broadcast technology. I mean, we had radio, we had television. And now the internet is both radio and television. And in fact, that's what we're doing right now. We're doing television.
Well, there's several marketing strategies that you use that could very well be a model for the rest of us. One, as the saying goes, you identified a need. And there were people, as you say, who hadn't recognized the need. Right. You also had a target audience. And third, which is great, you had the solution that they needed. And so you have helped hundreds of clients because of that start. And you've certainly expanded your services and your skills. So let's think, we've talked now about audio. Let's think about video, where you also excel. Mike, if someone were to hire you for marketing now, and they would say, well, you know, Mike, I just don't see much reason in getting into video. Why would people want to see me or hear me on video on my website or a podcast or something? Talk to us, please, about the power of video, what it can do in identifying our mission, our personality and attracting people in a way that we couldn't in any other way.
Well, we all know that you know, audio is theater of the mind. So the audio has to convey all of the information just in an auditory format. But with video, you have the visual and the audio to convey the message. And there's things that video can convey when it comes to marketing. People can see you. They can see your sincerity. You can convey emotions. You know, it's all about the communicating strategies that you teach. When people know, like, and trust a person that they can see and hear and you know, feel like they know. If you think about television and film celebrities, I've never met Jay Leno, but I feel like I know him. I've never met Jimmy Fallon, but I feel like I know him. That's not because I met him. It's because I've watched so much of his video. I know his mannerisms. I know his inflections. I know his voice. I know what he looks like from, you know, in every angle. And this, if I like him, you're building this know, like, and trust factor that audio alone could never do. I mean, back in the days of radio, people were stars, but nobody knew what they looked like because all they could do was hear them. And great radio actors of the day could really build a connection with their audience with just their voice alone, but everybody can't do that. That's why when I hear people say, I don't want to do video because I don't like how I look. Well, I don't like how I look. I think I have a face for radio, but that's not the point. I want people, I'm not scared to get in front of this camera lens and talk to people and convince them that I'm the authority, that I know what I'm doing, and that my information and my strategies and my techniques can make a difference in their business. I mean, you said the three things that still apply today. You know, if you have a business, you have to have a target market. Who is your target market? You have to have something that makes them immediately be curious to know more information, that's, and have a call to action. And then, of course, what you want to do is once you start building that relationship with know, like, and trust factor that you can do with video, then a percentage of those people statistically will become your customer and it increases your profits. So why is video important? Well, I tell you, if Google does it, it's probably important. And I remember in 2007 that video was very primitive on the internet. It was very choppy. All the video experts, all the video producers who did television said, oh, it's laughable. It looks horrible. It's the size of a postage stamp. It's jerky. It's fuzzy. I mean, they just poo-pooed on it because they just said it's well, the internet speeds were too slow and the technologies were too primitive. But you fast forward, nowadays, you can have high definition movies and symphonic sound delivered over the internet because the internet speeds are up there and the technologies, what are called compression technologies, have made it to where even at the theater, nobody's running film anymore. Those are internet delivered digital files from Hollywood going to that movie theater. When you watch a new movie, that's basically a big television set with a streaming video coming to it. So, streaming, what I was getting back to Google, they paid $1.7 billion in 2007 for a little startup called YouTube. And everybody says, what are they doing? Have they just got more money than they know what to do with? Well, they were visionary. They knew that someday that people be going around, and I'm holding this up for those people who are just listening. I'm holding up the cell phone. Well, that cell phone has now become the radio, the television set. And there are more, the biggest television network in the world is YouTube. And YouTube makes money by building audiences to the content that they don't even have to create. Their users create the content. What a concept. They have zero production costs and they're making a lion's share of the advertising revenue through their systems.
That's a good arrangement. Very good arrangement.
Very good arrangement. So they knew, and when I saw in 2007 that Google would spend that kind of money to own, they could have just started themselves. I don't know why they bought, but evidently the guys who developed, in fact, it was some PayPal guys who had sold, been bought out from PayPal, took some of their PayPal money and started YouTube. And every, you know, like everybody says, who's going to do this? Why? This is crazy. And then of course, nowadays we know that YouTube is the largest. In fact, there's more video watched every day on YouTube than the audiences of 40 to 50 Super Bowls. So you're talking about video is powerful and people shouldn't. My question is, don't ask why you shouldn't do it. I'm asking, why don't you do it? Because when you create what Google wants, which is content, fresh, relevant content, you have the chance of people finding you, liking you, trusting you, and doing business with you. And that's the, you know, the way I got you to know, like, and trust me and do business with me is I had to get in the car, drive to the meeting, have a business card in my pocket, walk up to you and interrupt your conversation to say, you don't know me, but I'd like you to know, like, and trust me and hear what I have to say.
And it worked. It worked.
And for every person that worked for, I had 10 that said, get lost, kid. You know, now, and that's okay. You just know that you have to just do it over. Well, when you do video and you start building that information, you only have to say it once and it could get watched over and over again and it lives forever. That meeting I had with you that day was only that day. And I'd have to go back to another meeting to repeat it. And I did, you know, that was all we had in 98. But nowadays, content marketing with video, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, podcasts, your blog, all of those things are ways that people can find you and consume your information and know if you're an expert or not.
Two quick comments.
I hope I covered the answer.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And two quick comments. One is, and you and I have talked about this before, is that video production now versus 15 to 20 years ago, video production now is very simplified and it's very cost effective. And then the other point I'd like to make is that the power of video for our marketing and our professional relationships is only limited by our imagination. I'll tell you a very simple example, and then we're going to get to another question, but a very simple example is many people, when they meet with a prospective client, they use the standard ways of follow-up. They send them an email, they send them a letter, maybe a phone call. But one of the ways that I have set my marketing apart from somebody else after a meeting with a potential client, I send them a thank you video. I summarize what we have talked about. I suggest a next step. And that's 2 or 3 minutes in that video, but that's much more powerful than sending them books or text or phone calls or emails, because it personalizes it. Mike, we're going to come back in just a few seconds and we're going to talk about podcasting, because that, along with video, of course, is the rage. Be back with you shortly.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
Somehow I recognize that voice.
Whoever your announcer is, I think he's wonderful.
Yeah, you would. Mike, you probably have people who come to you and say, I've heard of the millions and millions of podcasts that are being listened to worldwide, and that is accelerating. There are more people getting into that. And gee, Mike, I would like to do podcasting, but I've got a message, but I really don't know what the steps are. How do you work with that person, Mike? How do you serve them?
Well, there's literally hundreds to thousands of ways to deliver a podcast to the internet. All a podcast is a recorded audio file. It's content in an auditory format. Podcasting is traditionally not video. Video is more in the platforms like YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, and TikTok, and those kind of places. But podcasting is primarily Apple, Spotify. Now YouTube is including podcasts in their platform. And then Amazon and Audible that's the four big ones we pay attention to. But the first, you know, years ago, the equipment was difficult. The editing could be overwhelming. the licensing of music elements, you know, creating a compelling, as professional sounding interview show or a show that you're by yourself, you know, finding an audience for that show. Those are all the challenges that have always been along there. But the equipment has gotten cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And, you know, for my belief system is try to do interviews and don't do any editing, because when you try to make it perfect, it slows you down. And it's better to have more episodes, even with the uhs and ums and maybe some hiccups. You know, if there's something offensive or something wrong, you'll want to edit that out. But for the most part, you can start a show and end a show and be done. And so it boils down to a microphone, a computer, internet connection, and a webcam. There's so many solutions. And that's one of the things that I do with businesses. You know, the first objection is, why should I do a podcast? Well, a podcast is the fastest way to get video, audio, blog, and social media content. You do it once, and then you can repurpose that content in all the platforms. And people don't think of YouTube or Facebook or LinkedIn as podcast platforms, but they are video platforms. So like, that's what we're doing today, is we're creating a podcast and video content in real time with no editing. And, you know, that's one of the strategies I taught you, using the software here called StreamYard. You know, only thing you need, once again, is a $40 webcam and a decent microphone. Now, the microphone that I'm using right here, that is the popular podcast microphone. That's called the SM8. They're a little more expensive, but I figured if I was going to be a podcast consultant, I should at least say, okay, this is the Cadillac, but you can do great work with the, in fact, the microphone built into the Logitech webcam, which is the Logitech high definition webcam, which you can get for about $40 on Amazon. The microphone built into it is almost acceptable. It's not the best, but it's acceptable. So a lot of laptops already have amazing microphones and webcams built into it. So the equipment's not a roadblock. The internet connections are not a roadblock. The only roadblock is you not making, determining a target market and being consistent. You know, what a lot of people do when they get to the point of making a podcast, they do two or three shows and they give up. You have to continue even if nobody's listening, because you're populating a library with great content that lives forever. And so if you're not content marketing with your business, no matter what your business is, it's a missed opportunity, because most people don't spend time creating good content that can be found online, and you never know who'll find it, who'll be watching. And as I've taught you, we did it here. The only advertiser on this content of yours is you. And maybe you allow your guests to share their contact information, but the point of your content is to let people know what you have to offer and how to get back with you. And so we listen to great programming, not for the commercials, but that's what supports the great content. If it's better than not advertising yourself at all. And it's really difficult to get big enough numbers to sell advertising to others. So everybody should do content marketing or a podcast and a blog to create their expertise online and advertise and promote themselves.
Well said. As a communication coach and a speech coach, there's something I would add to your conversation about both YouTube videos and podcasts, and that is, give up your quest to be perfect on it. Trying to be perfect is not necessary. And if you go back to my introduction of Mike on this show today, I bloopered a couple of words. Did that keep you from continuing to listen? Did that destroy my credibility entirely? Did it say I was not a professional? We should talk on podcasts and on videos in conversation. One of the things I constantly say, Mike, to my speech coaching clients is, let's leave delivery to FedEx, the post office, and UPS. Those people are in the delivery business. We are in the conversation business. And that's, you and I have had a conversation today. It was possibly planned, but it's not canned. And that's something else that I advise all of my clients. We don't want perfect, because if you want perfect, just get a mannequin and teach it how to talk.
Well, you know, one thing I'll interject here that really exemplifies it is go to YouTube and watch interviews of all the way from Johnny Carson all the way up to the popular late night host today. I mean, Johnny flubbed all the time. And they made it, you know, it was just part of his person. Nobody cared if he did and
he made the most of it.
He made the most of it. And you got to do that too. They didn't edit any of that stuff out. I mean, what we're doing, interviews for podcasts and interviews for YouTube interview videos, should be like late night television. That's why you can borrow their concepts, you know, the opening theme, the station break, you know, you can have your segments. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. There's no scripting there. In fact, I remember Letterman used to have blue cards, and he'd look at his cards, and he'd be looking down at his cards. That he didn't have a teleprompter. He just had blue cards in his hand, and he used to throw them behind his head and made a joke out of his cards. And Craig Ferguson used to have the blue cards, and he goes, "I'm not reading this," and he just threw the cards and just wing it. And there was all kinds of imperfections, but that became you knew him, you liked him, you trusted him, and that became part of his personality and character, and it works. So podcasting, if the information is helpful and informative and puts you in a light of being an authority, mission accomplished.
Yes, and another thing about the perfection part of it, if you really want, you talk about the television host, even the best ones, if you want an evening of entertainment, just go to YouTube and type in TV bloopers. you'll have a lot of fun watching that. And of course, anybody who watches movies, if you think they got that all in one take, no they way. Didn't. And there are outtakes from that are very funny. Mike, this has been, as I predicted it would be, highly informative, enjoyable. And so I know that our guests will want to get in touch with you. Please give us your contact information.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to share with your audience. When I work with small businesses, I have a concept called the local big three. So if you go to localbig3.com, that includes everything I can do. If, you know, I work with all kinds of businesses. I work with you. A professional consultant. I work with a theater. In fact, this afternoon, I'm working with Valleydale Ballroom. It's a music event venue in Columbus, Ohio. We do a lot in the pest control industry. We do a lot in, we've done it in dentistry. We've done all kinds of businesses. The localbig3.com is talking about the three things that most businesses don't pay attention to. And that's why, if you want to know more of how I can help your business, it doesn't matter what your business is, whether you're a home-based business or you're a brick and mortar local business, the local big three can be also the worldwide big three, but it's talking about, optimizing, your listing in Google. It talks about content marketing, which covers, you know, most people think that social media is just Facebook or maybe Instagram. Social media is any content that gets shared. So podcasts are social media, blogs are social media, and you can't leave any stone unturned. So content marketing is social media. And then if you want to really boost your presence, you can give money to all the platforms, and they will introduce your content to audiences that weren't looking for you. That's how the advertising works. So if you have and especially with a local business, local YouTube advertising really pays off for local businesses. So I'd love to chat with you. And then, of course, my other passion here is the music business. I'm in an oldies band called the Box Tops. Let me see here if I can get this picture here.
Multi-talented Mike.
Yeah. So here you go. This is love you. Check out theboxtops.com. That's my passion, is playing music here in Nashville, touring with these guys. We have a blast playing all over the country. In fact, we're playing down your neck of the woods in August, but you can go to boxtops.com and see where we're playing. So between thelocalbig3.com and boxtops.com, you can find out a whole lot about me, and you can get in touch with me. And I love talking to people, even if we don't do business. If I can answer a question, I enjoy doing that as well.
Mike is absolutely approachable. He's a great resource. And I can tell you, from practically three decades of relying on Mike Stewart, you will benefit tremendously. And now that Mike has given his contact information, I'm happy to give mine. My YouTube channel, this video appears on YouTube, and I started doing, with Mike Stewart's guidance, I started doing YouTube videos in 2007. There are more than 450 instructional videos on there. Many of them are solo productions. And in recent years, the Biz Communication Show is on there. So you don't have to just listen to my instructions. You can also hear experts, Mike Stewart, and many others that I've had the opportunity to interview and will continue to. So on YouTube, when you're there, be sure to hit that subscribe button, and then you'll have access to what's there and what will be there. My website, since I'm the biz communication guy, quite logically, my website is bizcommunicationguy.com. And when you're on the website, notice that there you can punch and subscribe to the podcast. There are several options there for that. And as Mike says, he likes to hear from people, so do I. So give me a call to talk about your communication challenges and your problems, and we will discuss potential strategies and solutions that I can help you in working with you. Would love to hear from you. Mike Stewart, what would you say in 30 seconds to sort of pull together what we've talked about?
Well, there's never been a better time in the history of technology to capture your voice and your face to build relationships with new customers and make new friends in any place in the world imaginable. So having a fear of technology and a fear of doing something you're not comfortable doing is something that most people need to consider. So join the podcasting and audio and video world of today. I've seen it go from nothing to better than it's ever been, and who knows where it's going to be in the next few years. So we welcome everybody. There's room for every creative person in the world. And if you're not creative, there's artificial intelligence to help you with that creativity. So.
Yes, and Mike has some of that on his website. You can take a look at that as right. Well. Mike Stewart, my hero. Thank you again. Thank you, for being with us today. Thanks to those of you who joined us on the podcast portion and those on the video portion. Be with us again for the next edition of the Biz Communication Show.